I did forget to announce that any of the men, if you need to use the restroom, please use the second building. It's open. And so if you could just, it's just a little short trip. You can shout there and shout back. It'll be fine. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. Amen. I'm thankful to have a pastor that loves the Lord, that preaches truth, that teaches truth. Amen. And he and his wife are out. They are doing they're doing children's crusades. And I believe pastor is supposed to be preaching at a conference following that. And so we want the Lord to anoint. We want the Lord to help and be with them and keep his hand upon them. And so please keep them in your thoughts and prayers today. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22, and it says, "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer." Amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. God, would you minister in this house? God, we need your presence today. We need the flow of your Spirit. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our understanding, Jesus. God, would you minister in this house? Would you teach us, God? Would you guide us today? Would you help us, God? And we thank you for it, and we give you the praise, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Felt like teaching just a little Bible study this morning, just a little lesson, and we'll see where it goes. And but I want the Lord to help us. This is I felt this very strongly, and so I prayed and asked the Lord, and just felt the peace, just felt the help of God. And so this morning we're going to talk about the breeze in the mulberry trees. The breeze in the mulberry trees. So we go back and we read the story of the Philistines. And if you know anything about the relationship of Saul and David with the Philistines, they were never really on good terms. There was always war. There was always a battle. There was always a back and forth with the Philistines. And there was never a time and a place where they really shook hands and patted each other on the back and said, "You know what, it's been a good fight, but maybe we could just barbecue together or something." I don't know, you know. There was never that kind of relationship. There was always a conflict. And so David had been used to this conflict when he was there very, very close to Saul. And he had seen it from the very beginning. In fact, that was That was the first major victory that we see David involved in, was against the Philistines. And so David knew what it was to feel that conflict, and to know that the enemy is always present, and to know that the enemy is always, to borrow the phrase, breathing down your neck. There's always a fight. And we can take this and apply it spiritually to our lives. In the life that we live, there is always going to be a fight. There is always going to be a conflict. There's always going to be good against evil. And I would say, to a certain extent, if you stop fighting things, you may be in a little bit of trouble. You may be in a little bit of trouble, because we can, as children of God, we can expect that there's going to be a fight, a war against our souls. And so David had gone up against the Philistines, and there had been several different skirmishes. One in particular we read at the very beginning of this chapter. And it went well. David inquired of the Lord, and he was able to go up to the Philistines, and they were able to war against them and conquer them, at least for that moment. There was a scattering, and then there was a regrouping. And where we pick up in verse 22, it says, "And the Philistines came up yet again." Okay, and David did the same thing he had done before he inquired of the Lord. But God had a different direction. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we can accomplish. There's a lot of good things that we're able to do in life. Good manners go a long way. Good manners go a long way. Common sense, though it be not so common in the days that we live, it is a good practice. If you can get hold of it, by all means, get your cup overflowing. Being wise in business can help you to prosper. There is a certain amount of righteousness that we can attain. There's things that we can put into place. I've seen people that do not live for the Lord that have prospered in a certain avenue. They have applied themselves to business, and they've done well at it. Okay? And there's some concepts there that even if you don't live for the Lord, there's still some biblical practices that when we follow them, good things take place. Stewardship, being a good steward of the things that are placed within your care, that is profitable. That's a concept of the Word of God. But you can see that there are good people in the world. We've met good people. We've seen people that are kind. You don't necessarily have to have a deep relationship with the Lord and be full of the Holy Ghost to speak peaceably to someone. There are kind people that are able to speak peaceably. There are people that they're able to stay out of places they're not supposed to be in. They're able to keep their nose clean. They're able to walk in the right paths. They're able to go on and make something good of themselves. And so some victories are won in that aspect. And that's good. We should have those kind of victories in our lives. But if we are going to be conquerors, if we are really going to win the way that God intends for us to win. We as apostolic Pentecostals take sometimes a little bit different approach. There's something more that we have become aware of, that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Everybody say, by His Spirit. Our natural efforts can do a lot, but they can only go so far. And then there comes a point where God has to step in. God has to step in. And so as we go through this story, it's interesting how the Word of God works. It's interesting to be able to read the Word of God. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. And you will see things in the Old Testament that link to things in the New Testament. There's prophecies that are in the Old Testament, and they could be 800, 1,000, 1,600 years prior to, but they're linked to it. There's ideas, there's themes, there's concepts in the Old Testament, such as the tabernacle. We read about the tabernacle of Moses in the Old Testament, and it was a physical sanctuary where men came before it to worship God, where sacrifices were given, where the priests were. But in the New Testament, Paul states that we are the temple and the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. So we're able to take some themes and some ideas and work with them and find out some of the deeper things, some of the secret things of the Word of God. I'm interested in learning the Word of God. I'm interested in living according to the Word of God. I want my life to line up to the Word of God. I want my life to be saturated with the Word of God. There's so much junk out there. There's so much distraction out there. You can get filled up with pretty much anything you want. But I want that stuff out, and I want this in. I want the Word of God operating in my soul. I want to take every opportunity that I can to get the Word of God in, to make those connections so that that Word can be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. He'll lead us. He'll lead us with His Word. Amen. And so we can look at this story and we see a little story about David, and we see a little grove of mulberry trees, and we see kind of the idea of a breeze blowing and the sound is moving through the tops of the mulberry trees. And we could just stop there. We could just turn the next page. Well, praise God, that was a good story. And sometimes we do. I've been guilty of it many times. And that's part of the process. Because the process is that we are constantly gaining understanding. God is constantly revealing stuff to us if we'll read His Word. We can't get revelation if we don't read His Word. God can't talk to us the way He wants to talk to us if we don't read His Word. And so there is a growing that we should be doing. And you can read the same verse 25 times. You can read it over and over and over and never really grasp the meaning of it. And one day you pick up the Word of God and you could just be going through the same scripture. I've read this 100 times, and you'd be going through it, and boom! and it'll rock your world, because you see life now in a whole different way. Everything is transformed. God has a way of doing that, and it doesn't ever stop, because God doesn't end. He's an infinite God, and His word is infinite. He's an eternal God, and His word is eternal. Amen. Amen. Anybody thankful for His word? And so we read through this, and it gets so good. I mean, it gets so good. It'll have you jumping and shouting in the bedroom. It'll have you jumping and shouting in the closet. It'll have you singing in the shower. More than normal, that is. More than... when you begin to see these things, and all of these things begin to connect, it builds something in you. And you feel like, man, I can use this. I can go on in life a little bit now. I got something to work with. There's some strength that comes because of the Word of God. That's why it is our daily bread. It's supposed to be daily. It's supposed to be a sustenance that we're feeding on, that we're constantly taking in, that we are talking and teaching diligently unto our children. And we are constantly reaffirming and constantly giving and getting involved in it. That's what the Word of God is about. And so reading through this, that happened. And there was a moment where the idea of mulberry trees became more than just mulberry trees. You know, you have mulberry trees, and then you have mulberry trees. You have breezes, wind, and then you have wind. Jaw dropping. And so you can go from the beginning of the Word of God. And the first thing that we see, any kind of movement of atmosphere, and it's interesting, there's a connection between two different things. We see that God breathed into man the breath of life. And so there was a breeze. There was a wind that was pushed into, but it was not just wind, but it carried life. There was something more than just a floating around oxygen particles, whatever you call them. Nitrogen and carbon dioxide and all the mixture. But there was life in it. And when God breathes, when God's Spirit moves, He doesn't just move so you can feel good. There is life associated with that. And so when we come into the house of God and we feel the Holy Ghost, it is not just because that's what we do on Sunday night, but it is because God is bringing life into dead situations, into hopeless situations, and there should be a change. Oh, there should be a transformation. That's why we are able to come in one way and not leave the same way that we came in. We can leave completely changed. We can leave with hope. We can leave with strength. Woo! Amen, amen, amen. And so we see that breeze, that wind beginning to blow. We see that Moses, when he was up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh was at his back, the Bible says that the east wind blew all that night and it parted the Red Sea. But God was in that wind. There was life because it was a provision for the children of Israel. It was a provision for his servant Moses. And it was a place of God's leading and God's hand upon their life, and God's provision for further things down the road. And so we see it take place again with Elijah. And Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, and he was taken away. And that wind was there, and it was something that you really couldn't put your hand on it. You couldn't really tell when it was going or coming, but it was present. And when it happened, God was in the middle of it. We look at Ezekiel. We look at the situation, the deadness that he was facing in this vision that he saw. And he saw a place, a valley that was full of dry bones. Dry bones represents that deadness. Dry bones represent a complete lack of life and hope. And Ezekiel saw that representation in this vision that God had given to him. And he began to talk with the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. And the Lord began to show him some things. And he said, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. I want you to do some things. And so it began to take place. And the prophet began to prophesy. And he began to watch as these bones would piece themselves together, and the sinews would come together, and there would be soon a standing army that would raise themselves up, but there was no life. And then Ezekiel heard the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, and he said, I want you to prophesy to the wind. I want you to connect with me. You're going to do your part, and then I'm going to step in and do my part. And so Ezekiel prophesied. He spoke. He obeyed. He did what God had asked him to do. And then God came in. God began to move into that lifeless situation. And there was a living army. Now there was life. There was fullness. There was completion. Because when God steps in, he'll do the work. He'll finish the work. He'll put all of the pieces together and put life in it. Amen, amen, amen. And then we read Acts chapter 2. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it wasn't just a little bit here and there, but it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They had gotten to a point. They had obeyed the commandment of the Lord to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. They were praying. They were tarrying there. They were in that upper room. They were praying, seeking God. Together in one accord. In one accord. Unified with that mind. We're not worried about what Joe's doing outside. We're not worried about what Frankie is doing over there in around the corner. But we're worried about the Spirit. We're worried about the promise of the Father. We're worried about what's going on right here. And we're focused. We're not distracted. We're not being pulled by all of the things. We're not listening to all of the scorn and all of the voices of the world. We're worried about what's going on here. And it says that the Holy Ghost was poured out. The Holy Ghost was there. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, it's interesting that same concept is there. David inquired of the Lord, and David said, "Shall I go up? Shall I, you know, do what I've always done? I'm used to, you know, I'm going to command this way, and I'm going to do things this certain way. I know how the conflict works. I know how the enemy. I know how to succeed." David had a mind for warfare. He was a man of war. He knew what he was doing. He had some experience. So he said, "Well, I can place the men over here, and I can place the men over here, and I'll have the running back come over this way with a sword." and he had his plan set up, and God said, "No, we're going to do things my way this time. We're going to do things a little bit different. It might not make sense to you, but we're going to do things a little bit different. If you have had any amount of time in living for the Lord, you know that God's ways are a little bit different than our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. God doesn't fight the way that we fight. He doesn't use the ways of the flesh. He doesn't use the ways of going about the way that we tend to do in carnality. God does things a little bit different." And so he said, "I want you to go to the mulberry trees, and I want you to stay there. I want you to be in that place, in that covering. And I want you to stay there until you have a signal, until you hear a sound moving. There's something that's going through the tops of the mulberry trees. That wind begins to blow in the top of the mulberry trees. And when you hear that sound, you know that I am going before you. You do your part, and then you stay there until I move in, and then we will go together. I want God to go with me wherever I go. I don't want to ever live life apart from the Spirit of God. I have been in a place where I was apart from God, away from God, and it was the most miserable experience of my life. I don't want to leave the presence of God. I don't want to leave the house of God. But I want to be like David said. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Whatever God wants to do, however he wants to work, that's what I want in my life. And so God spoke to David, and he said, I want you to stay there, and then something's going to happen. And that wind began to move. And I can see David and his men, they had been sitting there for a while. I don't know the season. Usually these type of battles took place in the spring. Winter made it a little difficult to traverse in different places. Spring and summer, there was a lot of moving back and forth. Battles that took place. They took places. They took place at other times, but that was the main time frame. And it could have been that they were sitting there just waiting for a while. It could have been that they were sitting there for a short time. We don't know that from the Word of God, but what we do know is they stayed there until they heard. until there was a moving, until they knew the Spirit of the Lord was amongst them. It was there. And we can take several different things from this. It didn't say that there was a moving right at the ground. It didn't say that there was a moving at where the men were. But it says it was at the tops of the trees. There's something that is significant about the tops of the trees. Sometimes we get in a low place and we have to set our affection on things above. And Jesus said, there are some things that you're going to have to understand. If you want to get to me, you're going to have to come up. Is anybody thankful that they got lifted up out of a horrible pit? That one that purchased our salvation was lifted up upon that cross. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men nigh unto me. That serpent that was lifted up on the pole. The prophet had the vision and he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He is the Most High. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He has the name that is above every name. And so there's something to the tops. And that's where the Spirit of the Lord began to move. And I can see maybe those men started getting some chill bumps a little bit. Maybe they, oh, you hear that? Oh, yeah. You hear that? God is for us. Woo! God is for us. And they started nudging one another. Woo! Yeah, I'm getting ready to fight now. I wasn't too sure about it. My toes were curling up, but I'm kind of ready now. Yeah, it's a little different when you know that God's on your side. You can go through a whole lot more when you know that God is on your side. Amen. Be encouraged this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so those men begin to look at one another. And there was a moving, there was a stirring that came about. And the Bible says that they moved themselves out and went and smote the Philistines. If you look at the word mulberry trees, the original, it is the word Baca. Psalm 84 references the valley of Baca, or tears. It is a place of weeping. And it is a place where it's a valley. And so these mulberry trees, there's something deeper than it just being a tree. The mulberry trees, these particular ones, black mulberry trees, had a habit of weeping sap. They would drip. And there's a representation there. Staying in a place of tears, staying in a place of weeping. Sometimes we go through things. Sometimes we face things in life. Sometimes we get into the struggle in the nitty-gritty. But God said, it's okay to be there. You just hold tight for a little bit, but I'm going to show up. That you will not have to stay there by yourself. If you'll just obey and you'll keep doing what you know to do, I will show up. I will show up. And so we look at that struggle, that trial. God has a reason of bringing us to that place sometimes. Sometimes it causes us, it provokes us to get serious with Him. Sometimes it's a hard thing to go through, but it kind of pokes us a little bit and gets us to that place where we need to be. Sometimes we get to the place of weeping. We get to the place of the hardness because God wants to put something in us, an empathy to help somebody else down the road. To know what they are feeling, to be able to associate with what they're dealing with. And sometimes it is so that there is a contrast. The light shines the brightest in the really dark places. And sometimes God wants to reveal Himself to us more than we've ever known it before. And so there are places that we get to. There are places that we will face. That we're going to face the tears. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be a struggle. But can I encourage you today, you hang in there. And God will show up. God will show up. That's who He is. We still have the promises in His word. God will not back down from His word. And He tells us, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And so, but there's another aspect of this weeping. And that is a representation of sincerity towards God. There's saying, I'm sorry, but your sorry really has meaning when there's some tears. There's a sincerity now that is working. And it's interesting here. That in this group of mulberry trees, there was a sound, a wind that began to come through. And we can relate that to a place of prayer. There is a place that we can pray. There is a place that we can talk to God. But then there is a place that we can really get serious with God. There's a place where some tears begin to flow. And there's a place where we really begin to connect with God in a special way. There is a place. And can I say that in order for us to make it to heaven, we have got to get connected up with God. Not just in a leisurely format. The Bible does not teach that we just have the form of godliness and we're okay. But we have to have some power in it. There's not just to be a little breeze every now and again, but we're supposed to have some life working in us. There's supposed to be something that causes us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just have a drop or two in the bottom. And so that's what causes struggles. It's what causes so much, and the distractions begin to come in, and the voices begin to talk louder and louder from the outside. It's because the voice that we should be listening to has been silenced. It's because the things that we should be filling up with, and the places we should be going, and the operation of the Spirit of God in our souls has been diminished. And we start going about things our own way. We start going about things our own way. Ephesians chapter 6. talks about the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A lot of times we stop there. Well, that's the armor of God. We'll just apply it and put it on. But there's something in the next verse. There's an additional measure in the next verse. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, in the Spirit. It's got to be in the Spirit. In the Spirit. If you look at that Spirit there, it has a capital S. It doesn't mean our spirit. It means His Spirit. Sometimes the flesh likes to get in the Spirit, but it's with a little S. The flesh can get all worked up and get all emotional and get all fired up about things, but it's with a little S. And the Spirit of God's not within miles. But I want to be where the Spirit of God is working. I want to be where the Holy Ghost is working. I want to be where God can move, and where it's not just a breeze, but there's life. There's something operating inside. Operating inside. And so it says here to pray in the Spirit. There's something that we've got to get a hold of. There's something that we've got to take into our mindsets. We've got to get in the Spirit. It's got to be more than just daily routine. It's got to be more than just going to a certain place and saying some words. But somehow in this life that we live, we've got to find a place where we can get connected up to God, where that relationship can be restored again, where the tears can begin to flow, where there is a reaching out to God and saying, God, I've done everything that I can. I've done everything that I know how to do, and I'm reaching out to you with my praise and my honor. And God begins to move in. God begins to do something special. God begins to operate in a further realm. John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it came. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Paul told the Galatians, he said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? How much do we do in life that we lose sight of the Spirit? How often do we go about in life and we get so caught up in the doing that we forget about the wind? We forget that we've got to have that help of the Holy Ghost. In order for us to win the battles, in order for us to take the dominion, in order for us to conquer the way that God intends, we cannot do it in the flesh. It will not happen in the flesh. It is not by might nor by power. But God said, it is by my Spirit. It's going to come by the Holy Ghost. Any type of spiritual work, any type of dominion,
if we're going to break through into that spirit of revival, if we're going to break through into that place of joy and peace, if we're going to see the backslider come home, if we're going to see miracles wrought, if we're going to see healing, if we're going to see lives changed, it's going to be by His Spirit.
It's going to be a place where we get serious with God and say, God, there's all this stuff. Anybody felt that way before? My life is so cluttered. There's so much. Sometimes we get to the place where we feel like we can't breathe. It's just stuff. But we have to get back to that place where our heart connects up to Him. We say, God, I can't do it without You. I can't. I've tried this way and I've tried that way. And we made some good advances over here, and this one didn't work out so well, but we've done this and we've done that, but God, I got to have Your Spirit. I got to have You move in. And can I tell you that God will do it? God will move. But He's a gentleman. He is not going to shove His way into a life. He is going to work, and He's going to draw, and He's going to do everything that He can for that life to open up. But it's up to us to get to the mulberry trees. It's up to us to stay in that place of openness to God and saying, God, I'm waiting on You. I'm looking up. I'm listening. I'm listening. And in that waiting, God's searching the heart. God's looking at what's on the inside. He's searching the earnestness. He's feeling out. But then there comes a time where the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, and those treetops begin to do this. And it's something more than just an average wind. It's something more when the Spirit moves. There's people that look at Pentecost as, well, they just start saying gibberish. They just start saying this, and it's all emotionalism. They're just making this stuff up. You know, why they have to be so loud? Why they got to do because there's something more with it. The Spirit is moving. There's something in that wind. There's something in that breeze. And if you look at the sound, the sound of the going, yeah, it's talking about a wind. Yeah, it's talking about a moving, but it also has marching in with it. There's a marching that comes over the top of those trees. And God is saying, I'm here, and I brought reinforcements. I'm here, and we're going to win some battles. Come on, get up. It's time to fight. Come on, get up. It's time to win. Don't stay there in your flesh. In carnality, come on, it's time to get up and go. There is a place where the Spirit of God moves. There's a higher dimension. This is the rest, Isaiah said. And this is the refreshing. It's talking about the Holy Ghost. Stammering lips and another tongue. Jude began to talk And he said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You keep staying there and listening, watching the tops of the mulberry trees, and he's going to come. He's going to step in. He's going to step in. And so when you feel frustrated in life, when you feel like you don't know where to go, can I invite you to some mulberry trees? Can I invite you to a place of prayer? Can I invite you to a place of consecration, a place of brokenness before God? Will you say, God, I'm handing it to you. I can't do it. And can I tell you, God will look at your heart and God will search, and he's the one that tries the reins of the heart. But the Spirit of the Lord will move in. You'll begin to hear. You'll begin to feel. You'll begin to feel that refreshing come into your soul. You'll begin to feel that rest enter in. And you'll feel that vibrance. You'll feel that new strength come. I know sometimes it seems like it's never ending. I know sometimes it feels like the valley is just never ending. It's always there. But can I tell you, there's a higher place in Jesus. There's a higher place where the Spirit of God is moving. And if we can just stretch, if we can just reach, if we can get to that place in him, God will step through. If you're fighting things in your mind, if you're fighting temptations, if you're fighting struggles, can I invite you to the mulberry trees? Can I invite you to a place in the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about just where you start speaking in tongues a little bit, but where there's life in that wind. You got to get to the place where there's a change in here, not just a change here. It's got to be deeper than just saying something, because you can get to a speaking in tongues and it becomes just a tinkling cymbal. It becomes just a clamoring, like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians. He said, you can speak in tongues and it can be just a noise if the Spirit's not working. It can be learned. It can be something that just, you get so used to it, it just begins to happen. But I'm not looking just for tongues. I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for a place to get changed. I'm looking for a place where peace comes in. I'm looking for direction. I'm looking for hope. I'm looking for victory. I'm looking for revival. I wonder if we could stand and we could lift our voice and we could lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, could somebody say that name? Jesus, Jesus, woo, he's here today. Come on, he's here today. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You're precious, God. God, your ways are right. God, your ways are right. Come on, can I invite you to stay? Come on, could I invite you to that place where the mulberry trees are?
to that heart for God, that heart towards a relationship with Him. We don't have time for the distractions. Time is running out. We don't have time for the frivolity. But we've got just enough time to let the Spirit move.
Come on, can we lift our voice to Him? Could you reach to Him today? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
We need a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us, Lord.
Come on, let Him bring you back to that place.
From heaven and flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us, Lord. Send down the rain. Send down the rain come.